Good morning, everybody. We are starting his third whole day of retreat. And we are going to be exploring and practicing in this day with the third foundation of mindfulness. Which the Buddha termed as the realm of citta, citta. This Pali word that is difficult to translate because it encompasses different things like mental states, emotions, moods, thoughts. It's a very rich and complex area of our experience, isn't it? Really rich and complex. The realm of our mind states. Sometimes citta is translated to abbreviate into mind heart, what goes on in our emotional life and also in our mind. So the Buddha encouraged us to pay attention to this domain of our experience, to really bring our attention to the state of our mind and, you know, mental states, like knowing if our mind is dull or if it is sharp and bright, if the mind is agitated or calm, if the mind is contracted or expand, large, open. Also to pay attention to our emotions. Which emotions are we experiencing? And moods and the kind of thoughts that we have in the mind. And why would you think this is important? To pay attention to this. Why would you think it is important? Well, it is important for different reasons. One of them is that we really get troubled by our mind states, by our mental states, by our emotions, our moods. This is an area in which we really get troubled. We suffer a lot with that, with the state of our mind, with the state of our heart. Causes us a lot of struggle. But also it is important because we don't live in an objective world. We don't live in an objective world. We kind of co-create the world we are inhabiting. We are co-creators of the world we experience. And this is of crucial importance, really crucial importance. we perceive our world through the lenses of our mind states. Really important to realize this. We are not perceiving the world objectively, but through the lenses of our mental states, or through the lenses of our emotions and thoughts. For example, an emotion of anger, for example, we end up inhabiting a hostile world. If we are experiencing the emotion of fear, we inhabit a threatening world. If what we are experiencing in our heart is joy, we inhabit a delightful and joyful world. Can you see that the type of world we are inhabiting depends on the state of our mind and heart? So this is really so important to acknowledge how emotions create attentional biases, for a start. Depending on how we feel, our attention is directed towards some things and not others. For example, under a mind state of negativity, our attention is directed towards what is wrong, what is defective, what is not good enough. Have you noticed that in your experience? How our attention is directed by our emotional state. And then, the emotions, moods that we are experiencing also create or give rise to certain types of thoughts, of narratives. In that state of negativity, oh, this is so bad, it's so awful. That person didn't do that correctly, or I didn't do it well enough. There is no point on, you know, continuing doing this because I'm a failure. And those mental narratives and thoughts reinforce the original emotion that gave it rise. And then that emotion reinforces also the attentional bias. And then we spot more negative things, and then more negative thoughts arise, and then that reinforces emotion. It creates a feedback loop that in the end imprisons us in a certain type of world. It's so important to be aware of this, so important, because when we are in the middle, or when we are inside that trap, we believe the world is like we are perceiving it in that moment. We believe it, because that's what we perceive. We are not completely aware that what we perceive is conditioned by our mental state, by our emotions in that moment. So it's important to start to explore this, and also to start to know the difference between negative or afflictive emotions and more positive and wholesome ones. Because the negative or afflictive emotions and mental states are the ones that imprison us, and also the ones that originate unnecessary suffering. But the positive and wholesome ones are the ones actually that liberate us. Have you noticed that under a negative emotion or mental state, one tends to have self-referential thoughts? It's all about me and poor me. And also long and obsessive narratives that can become very oppressive. The world is against me. very many reasons to be afraid of, or to feel pity about me, or angry about others, at other people. Whereas positive and wholesome emotions are the opposite. They produce very little narrative, and instead of being self-referential, they open us to acknowledge others and to care for the welfare and the well-being of others. But sometimes, or many times, we get in one of these traps of negative, afflictive emotions and mental states, moods. So how can we feel ourselves from this trap if we fall into? And we sometimes fall into several of these traps just in a single day. So how can we free ourselves from this? Well, for a start, we can start to pay attention, to bring attention to this domain of experience. Just to check in, what is my mind state in this moment? Which emotions am I experiencing? Am I in a mood? What thoughts are crossing my mind? It's to bring awareness and to start to get familiar. To start to get familiar with my inner life. To get familiarity. So we can do this in different ways. We can just check in from time to time, just intentionally. What is it that I'm feeling right now? Can you do that in this moment? we always have a mind state. What is it? Am I interested? Or am I bored? Do I feel energized? Or, you know, dull or depressed in energy? Am I irritated? Or impatient? Or am I relaxed? And enjoying? We can just inquire, how is my citta in this moment? And to get familiar with our patterns of emotions, of mental states, of moods, to get that familiarity. To be able to locate in the body emotions that can be very helpful, can give us clues about what we are experiencing. Sometimes it is not easy to know what we are feeling. And if we get that familiarity, we can start to relate what happens in the body with what happens in the heart. Because some emotions, really, we can locate them in certain parts of the body and with certain bodily sensations. For example, fear for me is very much located in the body and also in the throat. Some contraction in the throat and tension in the belly. With anger, to me, it's heat. Just feeling the heat in the face and hands. I mean, this is an area for you to explore and to know the relationship between, you know, body and mind, and also specific emotions, how they manifest in the body, so you can get clues. But also we can pay attention to what's going on in the mind, because emotions, as I said before, create certain narratives, and that's a very good way of getting to know what you are feeling in any moment. What are the types of narratives that you are creating in the mind? And then we can also start to learn how to relate to our mind states skillfully. Because many times we just go along with whatever mind states we are experiencing. We act angrily, or we act in fear. We act it out. We act the emotion, the mood. Or we identify with it. I am an angry person. I am depressed. We can identify with our mind state. Or we can react to it. We can get aversive to certain emotions or mental states or crave for others. Many times we do that, but we can learn how to relate to this area skillfully, to our emotions, to our mental states, to our moods skillfully. And the first step is to just acknowledge them, to bring aware, as I said, to what we are feeling, to the state of our mind, just bringing awareness. And then to recognize, to put a name if we can, to name it. That is so helpful and really, really helps to disidentify from it and to lose the grip of that emotion or mental state on us. If we can, just identify which one it is and to give it a space. To give it a space, not to try to, you know, to eliminate it, push it away, that would be, you know, aversion, but to give it a space, even to give it permission to be there, because each emotion, for example, has a reason to be there, has a reason to arise. There is a reason there, even when we are not aware of it. Can we give it permission to be, to exist? So we give it permission, we give it a space to be. We don't identify with it. We know that that emotion, that mental state is not us, it doesn't say anything about us, it's just something that arises due to certain conditions and reasons. And as it arises, it will pass away. Yeah, to be really certain about that. No matter how difficult, oppressive, a mental state or emotion is, it will pass away. As one of my teachers, Christina Feldman, usually said, they are not life sentences. They are not life sentences. They arise due to certain conditions, they stay for a little bit, and then they will pass away. The unskillful relationship with them is what can make them stay for longer, to increase in intensity, to come back more often. But if we relate to them skillfully, they just by themselves pass away. So bringing curiosity to this process, bringing curiosity really to our mind states, to how they manifest in the body, in the mind, bringing curiosity also to the conditions that make them rise. And another thing that we can do to, you know, to liberate ourselves from the trap of difficult mind states and emotions is to start to cultivate the wholesome ones. When they appear by their own, just to acknowledge them as well and to enjoy them. Really to give oneself permission to enjoy those wholesome mind states. And to get to know what gives them rise. And to cultivate the conditions for them to arise. For example, one of the conditions for joy to arise is generosity. very much related with service, with what we are doing here. Can we be aware of that, of what give rise to wholesome mind states and cultivate those conditions? Another condition is practice. So let's practice a little bit. Let's find our seat. And starting to settle into your sitting posture. Grounding yourself, bringing your attention to the body, especially the lower part of the body, very important when we are in the grip of difficult emotions or mind states, to really find refuge in the body. Or if it works for you, the sensations of a breath. Really aware of the sensations of in-breath. And the sensations of the out-breath. While breathing with ease. and without losing completely awareness of the body or the breath. Bringing some curiosity into the domain of emotions, mental states. What's the state of my mind in this moment? Is my mind agitated or calm? Is it distracted or focused? What's the climate of the mind in this moment? And what's the climate of my heart in this moment? Can I notice any feelings or emotions? If so, can I identify where and how in the body they manifest? can I give it a space? Can I hold it with kindness? Can I bring kindness in my relationship with it?
Such a helpful element of our experience to include in the practice. So often it's where there's identification going on, assessment of what's good or bad or how things are going, and to open to this sense that this landscape too is like clouds in the sky, always changing, always moving. Probably during this retreat started to notice that thoughts have this nature. You know, so often we really believe our thoughts and look at what goes on in the world because people believe their thoughts are a life sentence, things we do. So you might be starting to get a feel for the kind of transience of experience, the transience of the thinking world, transience also of those moods that do sometimes really colour the whole of our experience, this sense of everything's bad, everything's okay. And one of the real values of being on retreat, in fact, as we simplify and we do the practice over 2 or 3 days, is we can start to see this play out a little bit. You know, some mornings it can all feel a bit heavy, not quite sure why I'm here. And the next day, well, it's quite delightful here today. Really enjoying the peace, the silence. So helpful to see. So often in day-to-day life, we don't get that opportunity. And it leads to us, as Ramiro said, acting out in ways that don't necessarily help, support, serve us or others or this world. So with this, in a sense, we can also include the way in which our mind states also affect our relationship to the practice, to what we're doing. And with this, the opportunity to really be wholehearted today and really jump in, really make use of the time here in a kind, relaxed way. I'm not quite sure, I'm not really being very present right now. Maybe a cup of tea, maybe switch off for a bit. Ah, look at the mind state, a little bit distracted. Not feeling quite so pleasant in there. Bit fuzzy. I loved the invitation to include confusion. Oh, I'm feeling confused. You know, so often confusion, the mind state that we feel, no, this shouldn't be happening. I need to figure something out. I need to get clear about something. You know, what is it I'm practicing again? Well, you know, the instruction I heard doesn't make sense anymore. It did a little bit yesterday. Ah, the light of these wisdom teachings being shone, a confused mind state, it too will pass. It too is a cloud in the sky. And very often when mind states like confusion pass through, sometimes the opposite emerges, clarity about our life, about a decision that we might be stuck in. There might be a lot of thought. What is it I need to change? You might be here on retreat thinking, oh, okay, I like this practice, feels helpful. I need to change this in my life, and it all feels so confusing. Oh, a confused mind state. That's okay. Don't need to battle it. In fact, can I be kind to it? Can I honor it? Be trying to protect me or help me get my life in a good direction. So to come back to this touchstone of there really is no wrong experience to be having, if we can just start to remember that, and then there might just be some sense of this light shining. Ah, this is what's happening right now. And to explore today the power of this underlying intention, to see today if you can keep that intention going, keep coming back to it, this intention to practice, to be present, so far as it makes sense to us, this intention to serve in the work that we do, this sense of supporting life, supporting the world around us, supporting Gaia House. And then within that, no wrong experience to be having. Even 5-10 minutes daydreaming. Oh, mind state. Bit dull, bit fuzzy, don't really want to be here. Cloud in the sky. So what happens? This sense of this practice allowing the clouds, the sky to clear. So often entangled, trapped, caught up, as Ramiro mentioned, this causes things to grow and spin in the clouds and to grow and obscure more. Practice very simply allowing things to unobscure. What do we discover when that happens? You might get a sense of the kind of engagement that's required. It's not more pushing or forcing, because that's us getting entangled again. It's relaxed, but at the same time, this real willingness to become aware of, to shine the light. So this is our practice today. And I just love the way that the Buddha used really sort of useful metaphors in his teaching. And as Ramiro was speaking earlier on, I was reminded of, you know, just the way that we can find ourselves spinning in these mind states sometimes, and the decisions that they can have us make, and this One example he gave of a person coming to the gatekeeper of a village for the first time, having decided to move away from the village where they lived before and perhaps find a better village, and asking the gatekeeper, what are the people like who live in this village? And the gatekeeper said, well, what are the people like who live in the village where you've just come from? And he said, oh, they're really grumpy, miserable people. You know, that's really the reason I left. And the gatekeeper quite wisely said, well, you'll find the people here mostly the same. And so you can imagine the story of exactly the opposite, you know, delightful, friendly people. So what potential that the journey of life is more about starting to see life with different eyes. This whole world out there doesn't need to change in order for us to be well. We can start to see it differently and then serve it more clearly, contribute to it more clearly. So we have this opportunity today, and there's no wrong experience to be having. So, and keeping this thread of kindness with you as we move through whatever clouds are there in our experience. And with this, and with these three foundations, we have also this sense that, you know, awareness itself, which we can also be curious about, this can also be flexible and fluid. We can notice with the mind states the sense of sometimes, you know, holding on to something or other. But awareness too can be fluid and flexible, and sometimes more open and spacious and inclusive, and other times a little bit more one-pointed, little bit more precise. And I won't read you the whole quote by the senior teacher in this tradition, Jack Kornfield, but he says, you know, at different times our practice will require that we embrace all different types of awareness. Every form of genuine awareness is liberating. Each moment we release entanglement and identification is selfless and free. So awareness too can change and sort of respond to the moment as needed. We don't have to hold on to awareness either.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.